Sinai.
What great favor He has bestowed upon us in these last days. Now we are the children of God. What manner of love is this that the Father has bestowed upon us? Lord, we are thankful tonight. When we think about your love, we think about your goodness, we think about your grace. When we count our blessings and we name them one by one, truly, O God, it surprises us to see what you have done. How it causes that love and adoration and worship to spring up from deep within our hearts, that we might be full of thanksgiving, expressing our gratitude for all this favor and all this goodness that you have given unto us. To realize, dear God, that in this dark, trying time that we are living in, so much that is happening round about us. God, is only sometimes when trouble and havoc begin to come that people think about you. But dear God, what a blessed privilege it is to walk in your company from day to day. To live, Lord, with the sensitiveness of you being present with us. You did say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I will be with you and in you even to the end of the age. What great honor is this that you have bestowed upon us, dear God. To accompany us as you did accompany Israel when you took them out of Egypt. Your angel was amongst them to lead them and to guide them, to keep them in the way. Their God, as they march under the influence of the pillar of fire, God, they saw you leading them. They saw you providing for them. They saw you fighting the battles. They saw you taking and removing sickness and all evil from amongst them, O God. They saw you as a shield, as a protection. Here we are, O God, in this third Exodus. In every way you've come down and identify yourself, sending up a messenger. Like Moses, with two signs to confirm his commission. Vindicate him in a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. Doing the same kind of miracles, oh God, showing healing and prophecy and deliverance. And all these great things, the spoken word, the glory of God, the word being brought among the people. Yet, oh God, we see so many, Father, just like it was in that first Exodus. Unmindful, insensitive, unaware of what it meant to have the presence of God so close. This was your very desire when you made it known to your prophet that I may dwell amongst them. Trying to find a way to get back that fellowship that you once had with man, the Garden of Eden. That which you were deprived of because of man's sin when you had to seal up that tree. But yet it was for our own good, Lord. It was just to find a way, dear God, to make that blessing secure again for us, to make it permanent. You did come down and become flesh. You died. You slew the middle wall of partition. You destroyed the enmity, O God. You reconciled us back to your favor. You come down in this day and opened up the seven seals. You showed yourself alive. Here you are in the midst of your children again. Oh God, cause our hearts and our minds to be so enlightened. we can understand what it is, oh God. Lord, we wouldn't have to just become all tense and nervous when adversity is coming, oh God, or some disaster and the whole, Lord, world falling apart around us. But, oh God, our eyes could be fixed on you. Knowing, oh God, that we are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. And we can walk in your presence and we can have you in our midst. Hallelujah. What have we to dread? What have we to fear? When we can lean on the everlasting arms, we are blessed peace with our Lord soon, yeah. Oh, draw us deeper, Father. Draw us nearer. And we can be so overshadowed, oh God, knowing that this whole sin-cursed world that have rejected you and rejected the light because they love darkness rather than light. Lord God is going to rock and reel and shake and be busted up on everything else, Father. Because this is what you've spoken, but you've provided a place of refuge, a shelter in the time of the storm. Oh God, just like you did to your prophet on Hurricane Mountain. God, you know how to lead one to safety, how to keep them secure. How there's nothing going wrong, but everything is under your divine control. God, build our faith that we can walk in this understanding and this awareness and give us grateful hearts and make us more responsible. That we can capitalize on every moment and every opportunity that we have. God, even by hindsight now, we can look back and see how you in your great wisdom, Lord, appointed us a time when you could get all your children together. Lord, in the convention, you can move among us and speak to us and pulse us and make us sensitive. Oh God, when you spoke at the very beginning of this year of the time that we have entered into, the opportunity is running out. How we should rise up and finish the job. How we should break through every hindrance. How, oh God, we keep our eyes fixed on the prize and press with all that is within us. God, may as we see these things happening, may we become more sensitive and more understanding. We realize things can change so suddenly. How we want to be prepared, Father. We thank you, oh God, for watching over all your children, keeping them in your peace and security, having your angel round about them, the angel of God encamped round about them that fear you. Oh God, we know you're the same God with the Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, with Daniel in the lion den, oh God. You are in speaking distance and hearing distance. You're the same God to show the type of security that you give to your children to the prophet go back in the blizzard. You sing over the bride with the elect, oh God. You know how to move with your children, Lord. You know how to take care of them, not one hair of their head. The fire only broke the bands. Didn't even singe not one hair on their head. So full and complete is your protection and your security. That he that keepeth Israel never slumber nor sleep. But as the mountains are around Jerusalem, so you are around your people. We thank you, Father. We thank you tonight to be in your presence here. Speak to us out of your word. And to build up our faith. The faith that will be sufficient for this hour. God, we know the days of our head are going to get darker and more evil. The disasters are going to be multiplied till the wrath of God, those seven vials, are completely poured out upon this generation. God, we know there's only one place of safety, as we shelter under your blood. As the wrath of God moves through the land, may we see the necessity of applying the blood correctly, of being under the token. May we take heed tonight even as we sit in your presence. Grant it, O God. Lead and direct us now, Father. We thank you for all that baptized this evening. Thank you for what you're doing. getting us ready, putting everything in place. Give us sensitive ears and sensitive hearts to hear and to understand. That we quickly can do what needs to be done, what you require of us. You can be pleased with us, Lord. Have your blessed way. We thank you for all things. Take these few words you put upon the heart of your servant, multiply, open it up, Lord, and give that which is necessary for tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. We certainly would like to greet you and welcome you in the house of the Lord tonight. Trust that you are feeling fine and you been enjoying God's presence, staying under the word and just staying close to him in these times. As we see, we are living in perilous times. All these things we've been posted, when it's not war, it's famine, when it's not famine, it's pestilence, when it's not pestilence, it's earthquakes in diverse places and men's hearts failing for fear and storms and hurricanes and nature taking a tumble and all these things. If there's a bride coming to rapture in faith, there's a world falling apart. If there's a bride under the seventh seal going to perfection, there's a judgment and a wrath moving in the earth. It's happening, friends. You can't have one and not have the other. Redemption and judgment moving together always in the Bible. This is the hour we have come to. And we know one thing for sure. The bride is secure. Amen. Because it's not me and you to get her secure, friends. God has come down in a dark and cloudy day. The great shepherd of the sheepfold. That's why you hear me say over this desk over and over, as you remind the brothers this evening, sometimes we don't see the wisdom in those things, but when things are going to happen, you see quickly. These people, we are not babysitters for them. See, that's why the world have to get them to stand on their own in their own country. Because when things like this come, we realize how fragile we are, how vulnerable we are. We depend on the telephone. If we're going to depend on technology, we are lost and they are lost. We can't help each other. Amen. But we know there's an invisible union. We know there's one head over one body. The unity of the one God in the one church. When we live and walk in there, in the mystical body, in the realm of the Holy Spirit, united in faith, in revelation, in purpose, then we know that but a prayer can go through the storm on the wings of a dove. Amen. It can rescue, it can deliver, it can lead to safety. We know the angel of God, the God that we have is the same God they have. Amen. The God that we depend on is the same God they depend on. The air we breathe, the water we drink is the same. That's why God is waking us up to this realization. And all these things is to test our preparedness, our awareness. Get it, God in bringing it in a measure, a small measure, to test you and try you, to see how we can react, what beats in our heart when these things happen, what we do when the whole world is in panic and nervous and frustrated and everything else. Where are we at? And that is going to increase until the whole earth is filled with it, until they cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them and destroy them, when this is the wrath of the Lamb. That's the hour, friends. I was thinking today of how these men tracking these storms and everything else, following to the shore this satellite. And what I could tell the man, buy up some cricks, get some candles. And then you realize they can't get not the one. They can't get not the one. You're watching the information, you're hearing it. I'd have no help to you. It'd have no help to you. They have no help in them. What kind of safety can I do? Ivan was trapped, given the route and everything. Could it stop it when it comes? Can't stop it when it comes. That's the same thing with the gospel, friends. That's the same thing with the gospel. You don't try to get ready when the storm comes. You better be ready long before. And when the squeeze comes, you don't try to get ready either. You got to be ready long before. Daniel didn't try to get ready today. He's going to go in the lion's den, try to get everything right. That's the sinner. trying to escape death and hell. But the believer walking with God, like a prophet, walking with God, and the storm came unannounced. And yet he's standing there with love for his brethren, holding his gun, waiting to make sure everybody get out safe. Waiting, waiting, waiting. And when he realizes that maybe everybody's out safely, nobody in there no more, then he goes to try to get out. Still a shepherd outside there. And then the Holy Spirit says, where are you going? Go back in the blizzard. He said, I know to obey that voice to my little boy. Man that becomes so puny in the face of the wrath of nature when these upheavals begin. He's in big, massive trees. Just a lightning thunder alone terrifies you. And yet a man can stand with God and say, storm, go back where you come from. The spoken word, friends. The spoken word. But that spoken word was long before, when God was chipping and taking the wife and taking the children and purging the branch and breaking him. And when he's crying out, I want to be deeper than a hill revival. I'm willing to pay the price. It's quite there. He was getting ready for that. That's why when you see Christians, a little disaster, a little peril, but they try to woke you up in their fear and scare. But while you're trying to walk with God, they want to party and play and run and do all kinds of things. No, friends. You know what is right? You take a stand for it. You show some character. You identify yourself with truth. And you begin to give your life to God and say, God, lead me. Because I believe what is coming. I believe the word say those things going to happen. It's going to happen. I believe they always identify. There's no calling back. It's gone forth. It's already taken place. The whole message is get the bride under the blood. Okay, everything else that it took will perish. That's right, friends. So this is where, as believers, you want to walk conscious. You don't want to wait to come to church when you see the whole of Trinidad's a lot of shake and nothing can happen. And you hear me say over the desk many times, who say you're going to be here for the rapture? This place could disappear in the morning. Nothing belong to you. All belong to you right now. The opportunity you have right now, you stand here tonight. So God, there's a place you want to walk. If your conviction is that deep, well, I pray God give that kind of conviction. Because you see, a lot of people is, you know, just walk in religion and not walk with God. And that's why the first set of people that die is religious people. They're the one who doesn't know what's going on. And they want to get a match for Jesus, get a prayer meeting, get this, get them some fasting. And they try all kinds of super duper things at the end, trying to get something done. It don't happen, so friends. When a prophet came, that eagle anointing, God showed the end of the road. He showed you all the way to the new city. What's happening? He showed the end of time, seal and begin. End of time vision. This whole year, beginning of this year, was end of time vision, end of time. In the tent door, watching, it's coming, the dog went unshot. Well, come down, try to wake up somebody. I said, go back and hear the tape, go back and hear the messages. Come here, get your eyes to the prize, get out there quickly. Just keep walking the word, friend. Keep walking the word. Judgment is in the land, you know that? You hear these sowings of all these things, where do you think all these things coming from? See, we can't be in church. That's why some people still need to put their tongues. And then, a little, you think that's a storm? That? Blows to truth? But I sit in the church, hear the word of God, of course, I can't believe it. I ain't ready to pay that price yet. That is far worse than all that storm. That is far worse than all that storm. Because the day while it's called today, when you hear his voice, you harden not your heart. Our precious sister here, 82 years, baptized this evening. No hesitation, nobody prompted, nobody asked her. She said, I realize we've been baptized before. I've been doing church, but I've never yet been baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to be registered. I need to be registered. She had a dream. I did that, and that was in the dream. You know? So then we had the little one who baptized us. This one is 8 years old, so this one is about 7 years old. After the convention, sing the song here, step out there weeping. And the mother says, Zoe, what you crying for? What's the matter with you? She said, Mommy, it's the anointing. I feel the anointing. The mother said, what do you know about anointing? She
says, Mommy, it's something that went into me.
A week after, she still can't sleep. The mother said, I'll pick up, put the baby in the father in the bed. She sleep 2-3 hours, get up. Singing all the night, every day. And he said, Mommy, I need to get baptized. Isn't there? Tell me I'll get baptized. He said, you're talking to you. What's the matter with you? It seems strange when God do things where God is past and who God is good to. You know, testifying to me, our precious sister, the last one who got baptized here. He's telling me his testimony. Doesn't make you, get you off your feet. Let me see. Let me just sign up. He's trying to hear this. She said, are you testifying to me this Sunday? She was having her baby, and they are in Mount Hope. And when they had a day, doctor said, we had to take this baby. I think it was Mount Hope, which is where she was first. He said, we had to take the baby. She said, no. And she started crying. She said, get prepared for surgery. The baby's on some tube. We can't have this baby. And she started crying. And all of a sudden, this person's come over her in the room. I said, what you crying for? Dry your tears. Haven't I always been with you? I'm going to take care of you. And she looked in the corner of the room, and there's a light. She said, the most beautiful light was there. And she knew right then it was finished. They come in for the test before the surgery. They couldn't find nothing. She said, I told you all. So now she's going to have the baby. She's going to monk home. And when they had all the children dying and all the disease there, and people started again, you going there? She said, I'm going there to have the baby, but I'm not thinking about the nursing there. Because God didn't show me to be taken care of already. When I had the baby named Joshua, I went to tell her how the baby was named Joshua too. But I left, he was getting ready to go to work in St. Lucia. Family gathered around the table at home and begin to pray. And they gathered around and begin to pray. So Joy began to pray there and ask and pray, Lord, you know, let the baby move like when Mary met Elizabeth. I watched her pray, she lay her hand there, the baby, she yelled to the baby, hit 3 kicks. Baby hit 3 kicks like that. And she says, Joshua. I didn't know the baby. Joshua. She's going to get baptized to see. Right? I said, you're having your own book of Acts, don't you? But then the little one, other little one, you know, that they had to rush to the hospital there last Sunday. And all three of them baptized in the pool of Spirit. And they see from a little one, semi-old, the one 3 years old. What's happening there? God went down there in this little oil, home there, fit them together, kinda, and moved like that. Shuffle. You know, people in the message want to see Pillar of Fathers, Gil, in the message. Yes. Come to church here, hear the word? Yes, sure. She says she couldn't understand coming, and she, you know, asked the Lord, the Lord, let your Holy Spirit, you know, give me understanding. I want to understand what Brother Vin preaches. I can't understand it. She said that which is in serious. It doesn't move upon her. And she began to understand. From that day, she never, she began to just catch things. Do you get rid of her? Think of it. We can sit here and wrestle and wonder and scratch your head because we can read that, we can find a quote, we can do this. People just come and believe in an open heart and trust God. You know how far come there, maybe till the baby come out, but she comes, she gets baptized and she's going on. You look at her, who's that? Nobody, who is there? No, her number is it. Have some visit in the corner somewhere. What are you looking for? What are you really looking for? Grace is wonderful, eh? Be sensitive. Always happen already. Know where you are, friends. Have a contact with God in your heart. Let your mind focus. Genesis 49. For years I knew the scripture. Wish I could have preached it. What am I trying to do? Am I going to preach it? And I just couldn't preach it. And you know, this since I came back and preached on Joseph and I get so inspired there, and then someday I was preaching, and I just got under the influence of it. I started preaching. And Monday I'm home, I'm listening back to the service. When they reach right in that very spot, I said, how to preach on this? I'm preaching this on the Wednesday night. I stopped the DVD. I get up the paper and I sit down there and I begin to listen. And in 5 minutes, I begin to see things in the scripture I never knew. And I'm going to preach it. It can take about 3 services to bring it out so much, but I just, for Wednesday night, I just want to take a little part of it just to kind of introduce it to you. Genesis 49, verse 22. This is Jacob when he's blessing his 12 sons, and he comes down to Joseph and he's blessing him here, the 11th son. Joseph is a fruitful bowl. Even a fruitful bowl by a well. Look at the prophet. He already blessed 10 of them already. From Reuben all the way down. And now he is Joseph. He's great in Egypt. Jacob is at the end of his ugly journey. And he said, Joseph is a fruitful bowl. Even a fruitful bowl by a well. Whose branches run over the wall. Oh, my. I can't finish even preaching tonight. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him, hated him. But his bow, a bow in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. He is talking and blessing him, but he's talking giving pictures. And the first picture is a vine planted by a well, and it becomes so fruitful and growing, run up the wall, and he's going to go over the wall. While he's looking at him there, and he's anointed, he's seen him in this way. He said, Judah, land well, Issachar, ass, bowing down within two burdens, Naphtali, a hind let loose. But he comes to Joseph, and the picture changes to a vine planted by a well. Now it's laid before a fruitful bow, even a fruitful bow. And then the picture changes as he continues to bless him. From a bow by a well, a fruitful branch there, it changes to some archers, no doubt on their horses, on their pale horses, and they're coming after this one. But it's about maybe 10 of them coming at him. And but he's on a white horse and he could ride. And you know in the old days when they're shooting at you, you get down on the side of your horse and you shoot underneath your horse and everything else. Well, his hands were strong. He didn't get terrified that 10 of them archers was trying to kill him. He says, but his bow abode in strength. And his arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. In other words, somehow he has been equipped to face the challenge that was confronting him. He had a source of strength that made him strong in the time of persecution. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings from above. Blessings of the deep that lieth under. Blessings of the breast and of the womb. What language. What language. From a fruitful bowl to the archers coming against this one. But he had a bow too. And he had found a strength. And this one, who was the source of his strength, had to help him. And he received blessings from above and blessings from beneath. Even blessings of the womb and of the breast. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph. and the crown of his head of him that was separated from his brethren. In the natural sense, he was separated from his brethren. But this word separate here do not really mean that kind of separate. It's a word that means Nazarite. He was Nazarite from his brethren. In other words, he was set apart. He was set apart for a work. How many of the bride is set apart? The elective call, anointed and placed bride in the last days. Separate from organization for what? By and through the members of the bride, he'll finish this work. A consecrated bride. Vessels prepared for a good work, set aside for that man. May the Lord bless you, knows you never see. I would like to preach tonight. Joseph is a fruitful bore by a well. Sunday preach on Joseph, the example of suffering affliction and of patience. Wednesday before I preached to you on, behold, the dreamer cometh. We shall see what shall become of his dreams. I trust you've been enjoying. Then the Sunday before that had adoption age. Then the Sunday before that was prisoners first. Then vindicated and placed sons. All in Joseph. We've been preaching so far. This great vessel. And the plan of the potter that he had for this vessel. And the good work that the vessel was prepared for. And showing how he was the writing sheaf in the wheat age. He was the beloved son of the father that was adopted and placed positionally. He's a type of Christ. He's a type of the spirit-filled church in the last days. With the rainbow coat, the rainbow covenant. But here he's referred to Joseph as a fruitful bough. Even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. Oh, how beautiful. And so I trust that, you know, in all these things, you've been blessed. You've been inspired. It thrills you when you see the scripture open and the mystery in the word begin to be revealed to you. Because it's the book of life. And in this book of life, there's two sections. You had a section with Pharaoh and Potiphar's wife and Potiphar and the section with the butler and section with the baker. Yeah. A section with Joseph's brothers and them. It had those who did good works to Joseph. It had those whose name wasn't even the book. It had those whose name was blotted out in the book. It had those who was the elected word for the age. Who was bringing forth the mystery, fulfilling the plan for the age. Joseph, the elected in that age. The express attribute of God. The one who came from the thoughts of God. Predestinated to catch the word for his age. Whose life was the mystery of Christ in the Bible. He is the Lamb section. Is that right? He is in the Lamb section. He is the bride. He is the spiritual one. He is mapped out. The first son of Rachel. Look at the womb that bore him. Look at the womb that bore him. Rachel mean what? You, female lamb. That's the bride, the lamb's wife. Male ram and female you. Oh my. She was the one that Jacob had so loved. The first love. Where did he meet her? By a well. Is that right? Where did Eliezer meet Rebecca? By a well. That's right. Where did Moses meet Sapphira? By a well. Strange how that is in the Bible. Jesus met that woman at the well too. And that is where he began to reveal the well. He began to speak of another well. He said, as long as you stay by this man-made well, you'll always curse. But I can plant you by another well that you become a well of everlasting life springing up inside of you, which is the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit is that great well. I mean, you know, God put the first man by a river of living water. when he planted the first man in Eden. That's right. I mean, a man is like a tree planted by the water. Psalms 1. Joseph, a fruitful bough by the well. You catching something? Praise his mighty name. So, I want you to, you know, feel these things. These things, I don't want these things to come over for you to miss them as just a boy, you know, a seen thing in the word boy. No. I want you to find some places to appreciate the hand of the potter in your life. The molding hand. The hand that picks up the pieces. The hands that squeeze certain parts of the shape. The hand that break. It's the same hand. All is the same hand. The hand that break it and the hand that put it together again is the same hand. Same word that cut you is heal you. Same hand that's chasing you is bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. And you can see God, this unseen hand that leads you in life journey. You know, one of the great things about a bride is she wants to know who she is. We live this life, we know people, we feel good when we get to know great people. We feel good that when we travel, when we get money, when we have possessions. And the same way, in the natural sense, you enjoy that as a blessing, and you feel a sense of achievement and satisfaction. That's only a shadow and a negative of something spiritual. Because when you travel in the spirit, you get places. To meet Job, you have to travel into a far land. The land of Oz. Amen. But to meet Daniel, where he is in his glory, you have to get into Babylon. You have to get into Egypt to see Joseph in his glory. Amen. You have to get in Mount Carmel to meet Elijah. You have to get in Zarephath to meet that woman. To get in them places, don't get in there, so friends. It's not tourism. You don't just kind of go in. To get in that place, you have to get in. In the Zarephath, that's the place of purifying metals. Is that right? Take a chariot and a Zarephath to make a camel. Take a Gethsemane and a Calvary to make an Easter. Take a Francis and a bar carrier to make an Abel. That's right, friends. You come out here. Here's a place of glory for us. Here's a place of fruitfulness and power and blessing. Here's a place where the vision was given way back in poking the house. Go and get them. They begin to get out of here to get them. But here's a place of our most severe trial. We didn't get in bad carrier. That was the first part of it. Francis was another part of it. But the fullness of troubles and trials come here too in the place of blessing. You get me? I'm in the book. And the book is in me. I'm in the journey. Amen. And I'm following the guide. Amen. I'm walking this road. Knowing that the same angel, the pillar of fire, that led them out of Egypt is the same one here. Glory. You see, I find a place I could speak like that. The same God that was in Moses was in Joshua. Same God that was in Elijah was in Elisha. Same God that was in Jesus was in the apostles. Is that right? Find them place in the Bible to have no insecurity. Have no fear. Amen. Glory be to God. I know who came to me. I know who quickened these things and reveal and make these things plain. I don't see it to make me something. I see it but to see how faithful he is to his children. Take this to my children. I don't take it to myself and hide it and then try to glorify myself. I take it, I bring it to you. I feed it to you. I give it to you. Some of you spurn it. Some of you don't know what it is. Some of you are like, well, what is that? And you see, but those who know it comes from Papa. So, oh God, it's something he said about me. It's something to open up more of my life to me. Glory be to God in the highest. Jesus. It never ceases to amaze me. You can, under this anointing and this position in the world, touch a scripture in any season. And from time to time, it's like open. You got to walk away from it. Come back to preach on Joseph and look what's happening. Look at last week, Wednesday. Look at this. Look at where I'm going tonight here. Look at what Sunday morning. Testify and say, go up there and get a bag of wheat in the back. They say, God, quite here. He said, yeah, but that's what we're going to start with here, through here.
begin to go back now to what? I said, no, I'm watering back seeds that I planted down through these years. 1984, tried by the word of the Lord. 1984. Joseph in prison, Christ on the cross, the voice of the archangel. 1984. That's right, friends. Watching me 20 years after, 2004, comes right back there. Getting that worldwide. 20 years, they grew up inside of here. Glory. You go back and hear that tape, 1984, I'm preaching exact same places. Just is opening more out of the same word. Praise his mighty name. When you see that the unseen, they start to get visible through the word. You get what I'm saying? Maybe I go in a foreign country and they're driving me where I'm to go. I'm going to a place about 1,000 kilometers away. I don't even know where the place is. I don't even know the country. I mean, I don't know where it's east or west or north or south. Everything is in another language, the science, everything. I'm going. Them brothers, some of them themselves, they never even passed that way in their own country. So they go with the map. And on the phone, they're calling. Yes, whatever, what's you supposed to do? Okay, take this right. Then you do so and so. And we're traveling like that. And we are going. And as they travel, things come. Yes, I see the place. I just passed that. He said, okay, 2 streets from there. Then take a left. This is good. Check, guys. 1, 2, 3. Well, they don't know the place. They, in other words, just road and house and trees. It means nothing. But the map identifies you here. You know which here. You know which here. It gets visible to you what the location is. And knowing where you are, it brings confidence and expectation. And so if we're here, we only have 5 more minutes and we're going to meet them brothers right there. They're supposed to be by this corner. You get what I'm saying? But that's why when you're traveling and in the word, and the word opens this and the word opens that and the word opens that, the invisible God that is leading you becomes visible to you. He posts, he places you. You see where you are. You see in the word what's happening. Amen. That's the way you travel. How many of the prophets of the Bible is God's roadmap? Faith brings you to the power, and the power produces the promise. We travel this great road, and it's unfolding, and the guide, the Holy Spirit, bringing us through the scripture. Amen. As our brothers point tonight, Lord, you've been showing us perfection, Joseph. Speak of perfection, type of the bride in this age. Now, I want to just kind of, as I say, just little background. I have some real things that I don't even want to touch up tonight. They get into a place, they get to St. John 15, but I'm going to leave that later on. I was so amazed to see the precision of the Holy Spirit. I get locked in a place there and for 2 days. I can't move. Going to sleep 4 or 5 in the morning. Get up in the morning and sometimes and go to my office about 10, leaving 5 the next morning, 4 the next morning, locked there, trying to find this. What this mean? I want this to open. Last week or so, my hour to get to bed is 4 or 5 in the morning. Then it's hard to fall asleep because the mind is racing. And then by that time, a couple hours, the children get up to go to school. But there's noise in the place. And that's the time I get quiet. When everybody falls asleep, you can talk to God. And you can stay with God. And you can stand your watch and you're waiting for the word. See, this ain't a job for me. This is for fame and for money and these things. I'm here. I'm trying to get out of here. I'm a rocket scientist. Trying to get this astronaut, this spaceship working to take off. And all who recognize the scientists and recognize they are part of this project to go to heaven. That's right, friends. There's a formula. The message is a formula. How many of you message is a formula? Down through these years, I preach that. Amen. A key that a man has. You by spiritual laws to achieve spiritual things. Spiritual scientists mixing the chemicals of the world. Joseph has some chemicals that we need here in this hour. Is that right? Look at the Holy Spirit, a kind of chemical Sunday to show you. But every thought, every breath is ordained of God. Every heartbeat is counted by God. Every hair is counted by God.
to live and walk there. Not no hocus pocus, no. No. When you're walking with God, something happened, there's a reason for that. That couldn't happen except God wanted it. And if that happened around you, there's a reason why I have to be here, because when the camera took that picture, I was in that picture. So events had to move me here to be here at that time. You get what I'm saying? These things are gonna get settled to you. You start to know your life is by design. That's what it means. Previously marked out by a design. He's working all things out of the counsel of his will. This great counsel. He pre-planned it. It means he pre-planned it. That's why he said nothing can happen until maybe that man gets here, because in the vision he's supposed to be here. And that woman is supposed to be over there. And I can't move them. Something I have to move them to get there. Fix so. Not until a prophet came in this day, we understand. He said, now Jesus Christ can heal. He can do anything. But that man can't get healed until that woman come here. The carnal man say, yeah, but God, anything can happen, all things are possible. All things are possible in the law of God's word. And according to God's will. In God's time and season. And the way God planned it. Because why? God has a purpose. His wisdom want that done because there's a revelation to come out of it. It has meaning and significance. It's not just by desire. God didn't predestinate by desire. God predestined by purpose. By foreknowledge. Knowing what is going to be done. Why? What it's going to mean. That's why Joseph lies a type of Christ. He had to be rejected. He had to be between two, the butler and the baker. One had to die. From there, he's going to ascend to the throne. From there, he's going to get the Gentile bride. It is by design. Joseph living out the life, but he don't know that his life is a mystery of the Messiah. When the Messiah comes, he's going to read the Bible now. He knows the next step. He knows the next step. He knows the next step. He said, because here is the Feast of Passover. Here is the first fruits. I come out of prison. Here is the Feast of Pentecost. I get the Gentile bride. He's coming here. Here's my brothers coming. This is Feast of Trumpets. Here is the Atonement. I'm making myself known to them. Here is the Tabernacles. Do it mean the land? He's seen it in the Word. It's by design. You get what I'm saying? That's why when the elect today get the Holy Spirit, she have eternal life, but when she get the Holy Spirit, not all have the Holy Spirit yet. Some of you sitting on here as elect without the Holy Spirit in your life. When that move in your heart, you get quickened and you know what is being said and you understand, you get in the symphony. And the spirit of the composer on the director come upon you. And then faith connects. And then your mind unlock. And then you have understanding. And then you're in the right swing. Otherwise you're watching you and they're watching you going out of time. They can tell you out of time. You're not in this spirit. You're in a different spirit. You're in your own spirit. That's right. Oh, Jesus. Catch this. The time of blessing had come. And Joseph, the patriarch, grace. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Three foundations. Joseph was the fourth foundation. Now watch here. He's blessing. And he's blessing his sons in birth order. And now he comes to Joseph. He's under inspiration. Because that blessing, they are exactly, precisely in the land where they are today. Naturally, according to how they were blessed. Because Moses came later on in Deuteronomy 23 and blessed them again. Now they were not sons, they were tribes. Then Joshua come and begin to place them according to the birth and blessing by inspiration. Because he's the type of the Holy Ghost. Because even there, God is unfolding a mystery. That when it comes spiritual to the church, we too, by our spiritual birth, we too, by our spiritual placing, we too, by our spiritual gifts, we too have spiritual identification,
we too can make claims on our inheritance. That is the Holy Spirit. You get that?
Yes.
To them, natural, to us, spiritual. Same way, the Holy, He placed them in the Holy Land, He placed the church in the Holy Ghost. Now look. So in this prophetic blessing upon Joseph, who was the beloved son of the father, he had grown from a stalk in the father house to a tassel in Potiphar house, to a shock in the prison house, and to a writing sheaf in Pharaoh house. It was there they bowed unto him. Is that right? When he became placed positionally, because the writing sheaf is the place son. The one that has waved over us our acceptance is the rising of the sun. The seed is not able to shock. That proves harvest time. You get that?
Yeah.
We've been through that. I don't want to spend time going back over some of the things. It might be good, but I have some other things I want to move on to. And when he became that writing sheaf, now the ministry he was being prepared for, he fulfilled. You catch that? He said, not all the years of preparation, the message that followed the preparation. The message that followed the healing revival. All those things with preparation, choice ministry, but in a first phase, in a certain way, that they don't get the job done. Then they come in a second pull, in a greater way than the first way, but that still don't get the job done. You get that?
Oh.
My, Jesus. When he became in the Pharaoh place on his place, now he can save the world. Because he's in a position of authority, now he can open the storehouse. Now he can give out the food, because it's like a saving from physical debt. But Jesus is going to come to bring a saving from spiritual debt and physical debt. Is that right? Okay, so all this is unfolding, and here Jacob now is blessing him, and something in that blessing is not just a natural blessing. That blessing is a mystery being revealed, because Joseph represented Christ. He was the beloved son of the father. He was divine. He was the fruitful vine. How many is also called the branch? That's right. How many of this last, the bride is the branch that comes from the root? How many of the first one come from the root, and all the rest that come down to all the denominations grafted in, living off of the lives but bringing forth their own testimony? But how many know for restoration, another branch had to come from the root? And this one going to bear the same fruit the first one bore. And even greater. The glory of the latter house is to be greater than the glory of the former house. The glory of the latter branch is to be greater than the glory of the former branch. Greater works than the spoken word. They did more works. She's going to come and do more works and greater works. I promise. But watch. So Joseph is the branch. Jesus is the branch. And this last, the bride is the branch. Joseph went over the wall. Jesus went over the wall. I'll show you. And this last, the bride, she goes over the wall too. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now for our subject, I want to take he who is divine, the well, and the wall. Because the vine is planted by the well, and then a wall around. The wall was always for protection, so little foxes don't spoil the vine. The wall also established a boundary. But it didn't cross the wall until it became fruitful. Hallelujah! It's a fruitful bow that runs over the wall. In other words, the fruit don't remain local. Hallelujah! The fruit is so laden, it's too much for local.
So God by grace have it to extend the local boundaries and become accessible and available to people outside the wall, outside that economy. Because when it became very fruitful, in this the Father was being glorified. Now the blessing, he said, you're fruitful, Paul. Oh, you're fruitful. Even a fruitful bow. You're so fruitful. He's taken up with the fruitfulness under the vision as he's given the prophetic utterance to bless him. And the blessing is coming out in the picture of the vine. Well, what made it fruitful? Well, it was planted. It was planted by the water. It was planted by the water. It wasn't stuck in. How did it end up there? There had to be a husbandman, a vine dresser, who planted that life that was intended to grow up and become fruitful and bless all those within that economy and then bless others outside that economy. I want to feel that this is a perfection church here. I want to call this church Joseph tonight, that the Lord have planted by the well. Hallelujah! And that the time came, your branch had to grow beyond this local wall and get international and get regional out there. Is that right? Because your fruit, others had to partake of the same fruit too. But I want to show you, before any branch can bear much fruit, there's a purging. That's how the vine becomes fruitful. He purged the branch. So you're going to find that any vine that is destined to be a fruitful branch, one that comes from the root, predestined in the root, but coming forth in its season and bringing forth its own fruit in its season, and has a source of water that don't run out. This is you scratching the covering when this goes. Because I'll have to carry it, which I can't do tonight, down into husbandry. The growth and development of the vine. And since we don't have to train that, I had to go and find that and study that and understand how the vine does grow and what the pruning is and why Jesus took up that to reveal a mystery of himself and the church and the intimate union and oneness in St. John 15, which he's teaching, as I always show you, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. He is not with the 12. He is with the 11. Judas went out and is only with the elect. He and the elect. And no other writer writes those things except John the eagle. It was the most intimate, private, and secluded. When he come to the end, just when the darkness had settled upon that nation that had rejected the ministry of the Son of Man and was now uniting with the Roman power for the full crucifixion of the world. But during that time, he had done turned down his crown. And he even better get rid of Judas. Do it and do quickly and send him his way. And then from the time he left, he opened his mouth and he began to teach. Because St. John 14, 15, 16, 17 is the comforter, the spirit of truth, the guide. The mystery of election and predestination. The oneness, St. John 17. Father, don't perfect the world, I perfect these whom you have given me. See, even the Son of Man, he had to fall to go to his place. Born the Son of Perdition to these here. And he's opening them hidden things. And he's speaking mysteries. Like, I believe that he has spoken things in this little church here that has shown how privileged and favored he has favored that. Things that many grope at and can't understand and probe at because they don't have no gift to get in there. They know the prophet, the most they can say the prophet say. And that's all I can say. They can just maybe quote the word in the paper. The video say much, they can't go further than that. But when the Spirit was saying that to the prophet, come back to the bride, he can say what he was saying. Because in the word, if the word is open, then he is revealed from Genesis 1, verse 20. And that's the Spirit that operates in here. And those who have eyes to see can see that. But what's something here? Joseph is sitting under the prophetic blessing. Wouldn't you have loved to sit under a gift of grace? Maybe the man might be an old deceiver. But that man had met a pillar of fire. That man had met a mighty angel and wrestler and got a change of walk. That man had come to Peniel where he saw God face to face. He was seen of him also. He was seen of Abraham and Isaac, but he was seen of him also. Amen. And that man crossed over back into the land of his fathers. And Joseph, the perfection was in infancy. And then Joseph was born, he went back to the land of his fathers. You know that if you're a Bible reader. If you are more than a Bible reader, if you are a bride and anointed with the Spirit, then you know them as points that is marked in the book. Then it's not just reading them all, it's something you recognize in the unfolding of the mystery. All in years in the Laban house. But he only went back when Joseph was born. That's what they call king. Because this boy can't be raised there. This boy should be raised over here. This vine is to be planted by the well. Yes, sir. God is particular about the church in the last days. This fruitful branch. This beloved bride. This spiritual church. Amen. This church is going to come to perfection, adoption. This church. Notice when Joseph is mentioned in the book of Hebrews. What, with all the great things in his life, what was the thing that was spoken concerning him? As faith. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Joseph what? What was the faith by Joseph? Anybody know? Remember? When you're going out, you give commandment concerning bones. He gave commandment concerning his bones. And they take it out. Why? He had resurrection faith. He had caught the mystery. He knew he was part of the resurrection. When the Son of Man, at the last, when the voice of the archangel on the cross, when he's smitten, he knew he's part of that mystery. You catch that? You ain't catch that. The chosen bride, the predestined bride, the bride who is that branch from the root, she knows she's part of the resurrection. That's, she's perfected in life, but her faith, she knows under that seventh seal. But that's that same life that grows up inside her. When her faith is marked, she's part of the resurrection. She's the voice of the archangel. She's the voice of the resurrection. She's in the resurrection. Take my bones out of here. Because why? He was watching the line of the prophets. He watched where Abraham was buried. He watched where Isaac was buried. He watched where his father said, don't bury me here. He was watching the line of his fathers. When you have the Holy Spirit in your life, you just watch the life of those the Holy Spirit passed through. The seven church ages was to teach you where the Holy Spirit passed for 2,000 years. So you will know if you have the same Holy Spirit. Why? You'll have the continuity of the word. Same word. Same life. You'll compliment them. And they have spoken about you. Yes, sir. They all knew the church is going to be a glorious church in the last days. She's going to come back to perfection. Let's look for it. For bride, churches. But it's to be a rise of bride in the last days. They'll come to perfection like Joseph and then bring the resurrection. When the church comes to perfection, they'll bring the resurrection. The statue of a perfect man, Joseph, the rainbow coat, that's the man that goes in the rapture. That's the adopted church. That's the manifestation of the Son of God in the harvest time, in the wheat age. You had to go back. And he's sitting there. I said, wouldn't you like to sit? And the word coming out is revealing you to you. He had seen the word showing himself in the wheat, in the ripened sheaf, in the stars. But now under the preaching, blessing, under the prophetic utterance of the Father, he is seeing himself, I'm also the archer who bow is made strong. I'm also the fruitful vine planted by the wall. Doesn't you see yourself in the Word for yourself? And then doesn't God come and open up for the who you are with more things about yourself by preaching in the Word too? How much different it is tonight if you sit down here and the Word begin to come out. Is this an eagle age? Yeah. Isn't this a prophetic message? Yeah. Isn't this the hour when the bride is being blessed? She's been blessed also with her blessings, but those blessings are becoming hers personally. Yeah. They've been blessed with the whole of Canaan land, but when they come into the Ephesians, wasn't the take now what they've been blessed with? Every place is already tread upon. That have I given to you. It was already given them. And the boundary specified. But now they've been brought into the inheritance that was predestined to obtain. Now it's going to become personal. Caleb can say, my mountain. Is that right? My healing. My deliverance. Not Peter or Paul or mine. My joy. My cup runneth over. You are fruitful, Bo. You are fruitful, Bo. You're planted by the well. I tried to plant you by the well. Tried to plant you by the well. The living water. That seventh seal well. That same well the Philistines tried to garrison. That same well. That he wanted that water from. Amen. That's right, friends. That well was he himself. He is divine Christ. He is the well. And he is the wall. The branch grew over the wall to make the fruit accessible, but the wall was always along the vine. And it was always still next to the well. But the branch extended beyond its boundaries. In other words, the fruit was being sent out and put closer to others than that fruit was designed to be given to. Who by grace he was going to let eat from that tree. Your fruit is for you alone. Have others tasted your fruit and know it's pleasant? Didn't Job say they should come and wait with expectation for me to open my mouth? Like them wait for the latter rain? We got teaching rain and a rain to make the word manifest. A quickening power, spirit, quickening word. You just come out of Job's mouth? In a thirsty land, meant to drink in that word? Isn't that why they went out all to hear Jesus in the wilderness? And said, never man speak to this man? Isn't that why they went out after John out in the wilderness? Why? There was something inside them was drawing them. Something they wanted to hear. Something they sought after. Why did people travel so far to come to this place? Like the building? Is there a word here that they pass churches along the road to come? Think, friends, think. Wake up. See God now. See what he is now. In your time, in your place, in your realm. What all the people come out of the Caribbean about trying to fly? Pay all that money to come here. Why? Why do they sit down and listen behind a monitor every Sunday? Why? And then come here and see that same water come out of them. See, they themselves becoming a fruitful bough too. Because they didn't get planted by a cistern, they get planted by the well. They get planted by a man-made cistern, they get planted by the well. He's sitting there. He's hearing his father blessing this one. Ooh, you see Judah getting under the anointing. You see Reuben, boy, he's being blessed. You see Naphtali, the hind really get let loose that day. See? And he's watching him blessed. He said, I wonder what's going to be me when he comes to me. When that word zero to me. When he's going to speak to me. What will it be? I see what he tell Luther. I see what he tell Wesley. I see what he tell the Pentecostals. I see what he tell Malachi for. Did he leave something for us? Did he say something for us? I see a prophet said, oh God, let me live to see this day. I see a bride marching. I can't these dry bones live. I see a church rising the last day. He said, I see a once more Lord coming. Oh God. He said, could it be? He said, I see the manifested sons. That race that was going to come, a super race. Could it be, Lord? I see the house of God will live again. And the pyramid shall stand again. And the tree of life shall bloom again. Did you hear him speaking that to you? Or you were reading a message book and say he preached a sermon that day? Where are you hearing it from? I talked about Joseph the last few services. What are you hearing? I'm showing you how we behave in trial. How you behaving? I show you how he's speaking. How you speaking? I show you what his attitude and to rejection was. What is your attitude to your rejection? You like the story about Joseph? Or you see you have the same attitude to rejection the same way? You see your hand in persecution the same way? You see you remaining focused on the promise the same way? How are you hearing it? What hear us now? How read us now? What think ye of Joseph? Whose son is he? What is his mystery? We don't talk about Trinidad dirt on the outside, you know. We talk about Joseph, the seed on the inside. The fruitful vine that grew up on the inside. That bring forth wine. Stimulation, windworth. A fruitful vine. Whose fruit had to go out. And man said, what? Man said, 8:11? What's some trumpets? Oh, is it second cycle? What is this? Burnt down praise? What kind of fruit is this? In every season, bringing for fruit. What kind of fruit is this? Is it or is it not? You mean you just want to come to church and hear and say I belong to church and I'm in the church? What hearest thou? What hearest thou, Elijah? What hearest thou? Not with air. In your heart, but you hear a still small voice saying, that's you, that's the word, that's your promise, that's what you call unto, that's why I've been purging the vine. I still have him sitting down waiting for the blessing of the Father. Man. I move him in the air. He's sitting down there, the Father is speaking. And now the Father says, and Joseph, and all of them listen. I wonder what daddy goes see about him now this time. He sent Joseph. And all of a sudden his eyes get glassy. And a smile comes over his face. Yes. And he said, Joseph is a fruitful ball. Even a fruitful ball. Like Bradley said the first time, he see more fruit come on it. And you're more fruitful, more laden with fruit. Now catch this now. How many know that if that branch gets laden with fruit, it'll get sticks and stones. It'll have sticks and stones coming to it. How many know nobody ever stoned down? You know some people stoning down a tree that have no fruit. And how many know a tree that have no fruit that stands straight like this? But how many know a tree full of fruit that bow like this? And even though you bow like that, in humility, laden with fruit, and they're fighting nobody, yet only stick and stone from every corner. We getting somewhere? Yes. The archers. The archers. Why was the archer shooting at him? A fruitful ball. And this is my Father glorified. She'll yet bring forth the same kind of fruit. She'll bring forth a fruit in due season. Lay in the presence will be ripened. It become mellow and ripe. Is that right? It's sweet to your taste. He made the sun strong to ripe it to the texture. And put a carby and under gazette paper. It ripe in the presence of the sun. You know, they get grapes, real good grapes. You gotta plant them. The altitude have to be right. You gotta put them at the height. You can't plant. They're not rice, friends. This is grape. You can't plant the way to waterlogged. It can't grow in that. In a swamp, it won't work there. When the enemy comes like a flood. But if it plant in the wrong place, it'll kill the tree. But if it's planted on the slope. So even though it gets a heavy rainfall, it drains off that water. Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. And he meant, no, I don't want to go there. I'm going to go too far next week. I'll just stay here. After, I want you to see the vine, the well, and the wall. I want you to see where God planted you. God has, either you're planted or you're stuck in front. And if you're planted, somebody had in mind, they're planting you for a purpose. Somebody had in mind, like a sower sowing for a crop. He's planting you to get fruit from you. And he knows the nature of the plant, so he knows where this particular type of plant is to be planted. You know what environment will suit your growth and development. That's why you had no choice which age you want to come in. That's why I have no choice which race you want to come in. That's why I have no choice which family you want to come in. That's why I have no choice which sex you want to come in. God pre-planned all of that. He choose that for you. He didn't choose that. And he choose you, he make you what you are, and he drop you in a certain family in a certain time on the earth. And we just get conscious. Why didn't produce some? Why wasn't it in America? How my life here? Yeah, I first why is this old board? How should he deal with rain? When rain fall? The lives are there. Next you see me, I ain't with a taller. Me like my father and mother. I ain't like this house. And they get grumpy. But God's planted here. Yeah. That's a reason and purpose. He's starting you. He could change that. But for now, you need that there. In other words, when you bring him down, say, what? In a manger? In a stable? That can't be him. That can't be him at all. Which holy God come down there and the first man see what? Stinking shepherds? He make a joke. That can't be God. Look where God planted. Look where he start. Look where he start. God planning it. That to come a certain way because there are significance and a purpose behind it. It's not just so. It's be planned. It's a reason. It's a mystery. Then he's in Bethlehem, the house of God bread. But the bread of life had to come to the house of God bread. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. It's every movement, everything in the life is necessary. He became a fruitful bowl. And when the time came, his fruit began to go beyond Jacob's house. It grew over our wall. It grew over the wall of Potiphar's house and end up in the prison house. And all year, just eating the fruit in the prison house. And then it grew out of the prison house over that wall. It grew over the prison wall and end up in the courts. The same fruit the brother was eating from here, the dream being interpreted, the mystery being revealed to them, the butler and them was eating that same fruit right there too. Is that right? Pharaoh standing right there was eating that fruit. When Pharaoh ate that fruit, he said, what? He said, you ain't going nowhere. If you go to prison, now you're going to prison. Because I can't let you go at all. He said, Egypt is lost without you. He said, God, son, God sent you here. He says, and to fix this here, permanent, you, my right man, you are above everybody else in this country. Brother, now you're a prisoner. God, friends, planting you by a well. This great well. This water that you needed in your roots. You see, the roots got down in the places. How many know where you planted is where to draw your food? Why does a man talk Baptist, talk act Baptist, look Baptist? That we planted. Why a man become Methodist fruit? That's where he planted. That's the soil he planted in. When he planted there, he didn't know about speaking in tongues, you know. He laughed at Pentecostals. He didn't dance in the spirit. See? Then the Pentecostals now, when they planted there now, they didn't know about the opening of the word. You get what I'm saying? They're gonna make the whole service out of camp, bring a playground and carry on. And a prophet comes and open the word and talk the word in the mystery. That's beyond them. They're a hawk on a telephone box. So you understand what Eagle say? He plants you. And I trust these thoughts. I'm laboring here because I want you to see is you I'm dealing with. Where he plants is individual, where he plants is a church. And why he plants is there. I'm using the principle of Joseph, of Jesus, of the church in the last days. Because Joseph, though Jacob is blessing his son, there's a natural blessing there that represented how Ephraim, which means fruitful Manasseh, was going to comfort one of the biggest tribes because Joseph got two portions. Is that right? He got two tribes after him, Ephraim and Manasseh. Because he got a double portion of the blessing. And then out there came Joshua. How many of Joshua's from Ephraim? And how many know the Lord made Joshua strong? Didn't God say, be strong with courage? How did I command be strong? Why? He led them in the land to do what? Possess the land after Moses. That was Joseph still going forth. You get what I'm saying? Why? He could place them in the land. That's right. The blessing was for him and his seed. Because what? The son became a tribe. One man became a church. And by his birth sign, his place in the world, all of them camp under that. Ephraim was the ox. How many of you know that camp in the father's house by the father's standard? You better know your standard here. And that's why then you'll get trouble because you don't understand the word and the principle. If I ain't talk my birth in this word, you don't even know who you are. You could be in the wrong house. You know what I'm saying? Because this church starts with one man. The baptized is in his 12 stones right here from Santa Cruz. Put there by design. I didn't tell him to do that. Ellison come on there. I came up here. I said, where are you? He said, we went to stand up. We got inspiration. I had to go in. I made things start. Then we have probably stones inside the wall. All them stones inside the wall. When you come to that door, then two sides, it ended up with the stone on Sunset Mountain when the angels came. And every stone was cut three corner. The stone on top is that. And all the stones here represent those inside of here. So we put there when he's building that here. And we had a little ceremony right there where we placed our stone. That when the angels blasted from eternity, Elohim, Jehovah, that Jehovah angel who come in a sevenfold manifestation, when he blew them rocks apart, that one ended up there and put over that door. And that's the one guy, I don't want you to come and walk in here and get healed. So, and that testified. That's right. And I'm writing the message tonight. When I went there, but I found out what she said. The voice said, what? you are a tree planted by the rivers of water. And pretty much here Wednesday night, Thursday morning, she's saying that word here. He would run. He said, what? He said, wait, let me get the pastor something. And bring him here for a witness. He said, sit over here in front of him. That's right here. No fix. So you forget, meaning you can't retain God in your knowledge. So you're just going along from day to day, he's changing things. There's no change. This is steps, steps, steps. Sunday, we was out there, Brother Sammy, and who it was? Brother Neville. And we were talking about the service Friday night and Sunday. And Brother Sammy says, he said, man, I thought you were going to talk about the dove, man. I said, boy, that was in my thoughts, you know. That was in my thoughts. I said, but you hear Brother Neville, you're praying that? He said, yes. I said, that. I said, look how you learned, but I never gained that thought there. And then he come here and he said, I pray. He said, Lord, this prayer. I was listening to the tape yesterday when the dove appeared in Argentina. And hear him testify. I can't learn to pray that. I didn't know if he believed that. But the prayer I him prayed. I said, hey, you believe that, boy? I never teach how to believe that. I testify. But he believed me. Because he know where this word comes from. Because he didn't get that same word too. In his message, he'll get the same word too. And his spirit there recognize the word. That's right. That's why when you hear the word, it's something that moves in the efforts. It's not moves in the air. Something. And as Jacob began to speak, he's speaking now under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, prophetic utterance. And could you believe that while he was speaking there that day, something what you are saying have relevance to you here tonight in this age? You know, if you say Luther, age don't mean nothing to you. No, you say Wesley, age don't mean nothing to you. When you go in harvest time, before the branch that come from the root in the last days, you're getting that. That means something to you. And because it's the age of perfection, Joseph, they're going to bring the resurrection. That going to mean something to you. That's right. Now think of it quickly. Here he is speaking. Now, before the branch could become fruitful, the branch could bear fruit. Because that's where the fruit comes from, the branch. But for a branch to become fruitful, and this is about the vine, the picture about the vine. Because Jesus, the type of Joseph, the beloved son who was hidden by the brethren, he came and revealed himself and said, I am divine. And you are the branches. And that first branch came forth in the first church. And seven branches have come forth that was in the root. And the last one was to come forth this day. And between that time, many other branches were grafted in. Now when we get into St. John 15, you will know. And you'll see, I never knew that until I started studying. There is graft, grapevine. They can take the root of one plant and the part that grows above the ground from another plant and graft them. Just like you do with bones and things in the human body. And you're talking about how in America, they have a certain type of grape, they have their resistant to certain diseases that attack the European stock. But the American ones know it resistant. Yet when the grape comes forth, it has no taste. It has a sweet quality taste. But the European one's sweet. But it can't handle that disease that's hit it. So what they do, they take the root of this one and the part that grew from above this one, and they bring them together. That's how they solve the thing. You get what I'm saying? You know God graft? How many know God graft in this church here? God graft presents you just here, you know? That's certain disease and things that hit them, you know? That they have resistance to, you know? And the only way of survival, that I get graft here. Because the grape sweet. You hear what I'm saying?
Right.
You know the key to all this? That you are part of the same word. So what the word revealing is where you come through. Because your life, cattle and other spirit, you only have one word. But when your life blends into the word, you have identification. You have identification. And identification is what?
Faith.
Because you start to recognize your position in the word. Faith is coming. And you start to know you're a child of God. You start to know what you're ordained unto. Amen? So the first picture we see here is the planter. He's invisible in the picture, but yet it's a fruitful bough by a well. It had been planted by the well, but a man is like a tree planted by the river of water. That's the first man. That's the perfect man, Adam, and every perfect son of God. And Joseph was a type of that very same son. And he was planted by a well. David, a type of that son, planted by a well. We are all planted. Even we are sons of God. Couldn't be planted by a system. He rooted us up from by the system. Is that right? The bring us and plant us by the well of living water. This thing. Because it's important where the source of your life is coming from. That your life come clean. What you're drawing your source from. Because get this. That vine, the source of its nourishment and strength was the well. The hidden, the word there is springs. Hidden springs, subterranean springs. You have to dig deep to get into them springs. But it's springs of living water. Bubbling up. It's a well bubbling up, the word is saying there. And the branch, in English, is just a fruitful bough. But the Hebrew there, it gives a meaning of a vigorously growing vine. A vine that is full of vitality and youthfulness. You're going to see Joseph from your father's house? You're coming, you spot that boy among all them hired hands, all that cattle, all that thing. You spot that boy going there. How many when the buyer come in, you spot the African king's son? He said, that slave there. The man said, we're not dealing over there. I bring you here to see these slaves here. How do I get over there? I can't help but notice him. He stand out in the crowd like a light in darkness. You ever notice how the prophet stand out against 1,000 denomination? You notice that? He stand out there with a certain glory that made him different to all the other ministers. That's how it is, friends. That's how it is. You stand up? Something about you stand up? I know where. Maybe you're trying to figure out physical stand up. I'm talking about something you're glowing out to you. Yeah. A smile, a handshake, a word, the way you move, the way you talk, the way you're interested in people, ambassador for Christ. Let your light so shine. You are the salt of the earth. People come in contact with you right away. Hey, this man make me thirsty, man. There's something here. Something moving. Say, blessed by a woman last night in church, you can tell she had been in the kind of glory. In a fresh atmosphere. And she was sitting under prayer. There's something that anointed. It's the anointing. When David walked in there in Jesse's house that day and Samuel served there, didn't he stand up? Did he sound to the prophet there? Yeah? Right. She stands up. This bride stands up. In this age of all them denominations, the bride stands up. Prophet over there, the ranch boss, look at that bunch of corruption. He slipped to the back. He found the little girl washing the dishes. She stood out to the rest. Not in clothes and thing, in character. Because Boaz come in the field. Didn't Boaz eye fall on character? Yeah. Who is that damsel there? Yeah. Eliezer, when he came and he saw that girl walking that camel, she stood out. Isn't that right? Yeah. That's right, friends. His eye at
evening time is looking for character. Isaiah's harvest time was looking for character. When he was seeking a bride, the ranchboy's son was looking for character. Who could find a virtuous woman? She shines above the adulterous woman. She shines above the contentious woman. She shines above the vain woman. Is that right? Shines out above that. Oh, there is something you can notice, like a diamond in the middle. It's like gold in the middle of iron pyrite. It's your character that is different, totally different. Gold tried in the fire. You ever get to somebody who have had self-crucifixion in their life? What does you look for in a Christian life when you meet people? You can tell, you ever admire things in people's life? And so, I was like to be wrong that person. It's just something about them. The prophet said, you know, atmosphere. He said, some people don't get around. He said, there's good people, you don't like to be around them. What? He said, what is this? The atmosphere. He said, but there's others. You just like to be around them. The atmosphere. Make them a little guilt, write a song in Grenada about your atmosphere. When they come into your atmosphere, something touch them in their heart. Something arrest them. Somebody to know, and you always have something good to say. You know, something that edifies and lifts up. Something that they find a place in their life. You're like, you talk to me for 5 minutes, and next thing you know, like you know me. You know, I hit them places in my life. What is that? Contact the Holy Spirit. What does it look for? To me, I have admired things in people so many times. And there's some people I just love to be around. When I get around them, because why? There's something about them that fills me. They have a way, the atmosphere. What did Jonathan want to get around David? But they think of all the armor and build. Why? The love surpassed the love of a woman. In an age of women and this thousand singing, David gets around. But the love of Jonathan was more than all that. A friendship. God can take souls up into that love the word and the things of God, that recognize God's anointed and they love it. We just make them forsake all the things to follow Jesus. So we have forsaken all to follow you. Why? The anointed in Jesus' life. Because he had no form, no comeliness. He had no producer's desire. He was like a root of a dry ground. Doesn't the Bible say so? He's ordinary on the outside. The veil, that veil, that glory is ordinary. Doesn't like some old badger skin, goat skin thing. But behind us is Shekinah. Behind us is Shekinah. Shining out. There's something in your life you want. You don't understand the message and church and religious. And we doesn't do this and we doesn't do that and we doesn't do this. And our righteousness is what we doesn't do. No. It's the atmosphere. There's a love. There's a truth. There's something that lights us up. There's a joy that we have. There's a purity about us. There's a transparency. We are hiding. We are cagey. You're suspicious about us. No. There's something about you that welcome. There's something that welcome. There's something that sharing. There's something like the lily. It toil and toil and toil. But it has to give out. It has to give out. That others can come and get. That's what you want tonight. You want that in your life. That's what Joseph had. Man walked with a prison, a dungeon. And brother, he's going to give out that. All the senators, the king, everybody, they get down there. What is this? What kind of flower is it? Look at this vine. Where is this thing planted? He said he had to go all the way back to Canaan to see the well is planted by. And you look so refined, so protected, so secure. You're not frustrated and uncertain and insecure and indecisive. He said, no, there's a wall around me. No matter where branch go, there's a wall around me. As the mountains are around Jerusalem, he had given his universe no sleep. There's a wall. There should have fortified city. There's a wall around me. Is there a wall around you tonight? Oh, you're living in fear, you're uncertain. Yeah, you know, somebody want to get you, and you know, and I watch my back, yes, you know, people. Can't you walk in peace? Can't you lift your hand and praise God? Can you be happy knowing you walk with him? You're in his presence. He's at your side. He's at your right hand. He shall not be moved. He encamped round about you. But he goes before you and he's a rear guard. Where do you walk and live, friend? You want to see the revelation abound in your life? This is the place where you're planted. It will determine whether you'll be fruitful or not. It will be determined whether you'll be fruitful or not. People trying to bring fruit in that denomination. They can't bring that denomination. That's it. Ought to be thorns and thistles and stickers and everything else. We got no water there. Pick a patch. Only criticism. You know, people, 90% of what comes about is criticism. Always criticize somebody trying to do something and they're making one effort to go and do it. Do not. But they're so blind they can't see they're wasting their life away sitting down criticizing others who trying to do something for God and don't criticize and they try to do nothing. They help nobody. And you know what's worse than that? The people who get influenced by that. That's what's worse than that. Because they're so blind they can't see. What's your atmosphere? What's your atmosphere? This atmosphere. Your father was here. Can I watch my sons in my house today? Under this anointing? And say, you're a fruitful boy. Planted by the well. I see you empty. I see you full of fruit. And I see not only we in the house eating your fruit, but people talking about you wherever you go. Every place you go, somebody has something good to say. Because, hey, that boy coming here for the church, he's a real representative, you know. If it's somebody that real Christian or that one, that one. Because the way he can talk himself down here, the way he can't put himself, why? They eat your food all along here. Listen, wait a minute. That person could cheer about you. I know a little stand for that, but if that person living out here. See? You shame, right? No food here, no food outside. But his fruit, look where it went. Every one of us that God called to bear fruit for him is planted somewhere. Every one of us that God called to bear fruit for him is planted somewhere. And if you haven't been planted in a place where you started to grow yet, you have failed to realize God is trying by the word to get a hold of you. And not just stuck you in a bench in church. The usher stuck you here. And somebody stick you in the choir. And they stick you over here in the cleanup crew. And then they stick you up over here to serve in the wedding. And they stick you up over here in the convention to get your name tag. God have mercy. No, they want to get you planted somewhere in the word. And you can begin to grow. And your roots begin to get down. And when you come, you're fresh and you're evergreen. You won't try and patch. Because why? Give me water from the well that never run dry. You're drawing your water from the well. Living water. So your fruit coming forth with a quality different than those you planted by assistant. Full of wiggle tails and contamination and pollution. Then, divine dresser, God planted you, friends. If you end up in this church tonight, and I don't mean you haven't never taught how they are here, but my father, I didn't just come here, I'll be here, you know. Go a little deeper than that. Why your father didn't come here? Ask your father how he ended up here. Because Othniel and them end up in Canaan land too. Because their father never followed Moses. And then Othniel and them fight and take the city. Because there's a wrong Joshua in them. So sometimes you will make the choice in this sense. And the reason you make the choice clear in your mind yet is because you're thinking your father is bringing you. And you never not one day say, Lord, I want to stop coming with daddy and them. I want to stop them bringing me. I want to start coming from a self revelation that this is my place too, like they know their place. And the way they involved, because I see the word that moved them. I see where they planted them. I see where they're living and feeding on. I see where why the faith so strong. I see the source of the strength, and I examine the water from that well that nourishing their life. And I see that is the Holy Spirit is that where. It is that little. He knows where the Holy Spirit is. Not what he was in some past age, what he is now. When he was blessing him, he began to bless the beloved son who is. He is a fruitful vine. The archers and them shot at him. The brothers and them persecute him. But he'll become great daddy blessings even to the everlasting hills. He's blessing the son who is, who was, and who is to come. He has seen the whole mystery of the boy. He's unfolding this mystery of the boy before him. What his past was. How many times they come in the prophet's presence? He said, "Lady, I see you. Congressman, I'm sure, man, 7 years. He says, "Sir, when you're 7 years old, you fall off here and you're suffering this condition. And since then, you're paralyzed in this chair." He said, "You're a great man. You're a senator. And yes, you work in the White House. One time he was running for president. Is that right?" "That's right." And then he looked over here and he saw the man walking. He saw his past, his present, his future standing right there. It's great when you can sit down and God can get back in your history that you have forgotten, or that you couldn't put no meaning to God. No light from the word never shine on that. So you couldn't understand your preparation and the leadership of God in your life to work to this spot. And so you just come here still in a consciousness of the locality of the building and the program, the routine and the schedule of services. But you have not yet come into the place of what they're talking about. What you'll be excited about. What you'll be going to the Bible there. What you'll be taking pains to show. What you'll be showing back down to the Old Testament and show the same here today. What it is giving them that strength. That no matter when you're going hard and all type of adversity, they're standing so strong. What it is. What it is. Where they plant. All I can say for 31 years is where he planted me. That's all I know. Is where he planted me. And this one pushing up in me. And the fruit that come from even yesterday, as soon as I said, "Lord, this, what you let me see here." And especially when it was coming to me so precise, and said, "Show me down to the Bible. Look the branch here, how it purged. Look the branch here, how it purged." And not only that, you know, I started to catch now the ones in the church right now who are suffering, who are going through hardship, who are in some of the greatest adversity and conflict right now. And I've seen the word that he's given me. But show them the life, shine it, show them what you bring them through, show them the pathway to the glory of God, show them what they call unto, show them that's a mystery in the Bible that will unfold in their life. Go and rip these slits off of their life. Shine light in their places. Let them see that this is, they have to submit to this. Because this is going to get them fruitful. Because God, the branch was bearing fruit in the father's house, but the husbandman had intended to bear more fruit than that. So he started to prune him off. And he started to purge him. And he carried your pot out in the prison house. And then in the only prison house, the fruit still ain't come to maturity yet. To get where Pharaoh and all Egypt to go out a hole in the air. Brother, on the slope, in that altitude. Yes, sir. And God is purging the branch. And by the time he came to Pharaoh's presence. But it wasn't the little boy, 17-year-old boy talking there now. He had bigger responsibility than them 11 brothers, them 10 brothers. And when he gets in the pot of a house, that house far bigger than the father house. When he gets in the Pharaoh presence over all Egypt, seeing people come from all lands, surrounding lands, Syria, Lebanon, China, everybody, who come in, all along the country come in. And that they come, not, you can't get not one bag of wheat outside of Joseph. Standing there, in charge of all Egypt. God became a father of Pharaoh. He's standing there. He's walking in his vision. Everybody else was doing things, but he was walking in his vision. The world was normal for people. I'm like, I just work here. My father is a planter, and they really give me a thing here. And I kind of out of employment, but the neighbor is he hired me cat so I could transport wheat and do different things, and I got 10 days over here. And they see no confidence, but he's walking in his vision. Man, they see the world one way, but you will see it in the world where you walk. You got what I'm saying? They talk about tracking Ivan and tracking this and all kind of things. And what's going on here? But where are we walking from? There's seven thunders open and there's seven trumpets. Where are we walking? We know trumpets, disturbance. Where are we walking? Joseph, we know nothing can happen except God permit it. Everything are boundaries to it. Where we know that national sins, people getting chastised on a national level, individual, on an individual level, family on a family level. God hand and all this. A storm is not just like a storm, friends. In the Bible, full of storms. That's right. Storm has come to vindicate the word. Even Colorado. And the one who come in that Colorado, he was speaking about the storm back in Galilee. He said, I was the one in the ship who calmed the storm that night. You calmed this storm here. But it depends on where your thoughts are. As a man thinking his heart, so we see. But you can't think in a certain level. It depends again where you're planted. You're planted on the lowland. That's all you see down there. But you're planted on the altitude, on the slope. Your thoughts in an elevated atmosphere. My sister, elevated. God raised you up now. Above Jehovah's Witness, above Seventh-day Adventist, above these things. Plant your high up. Why? You can become fruitful. Praise his wonderful name. Let me close. Christ is the well. He's the husbandman. He's the vine dresser. He's the one who plants the vine. Then he's the one who protects the vine. He's the wall around your life. Then he's the very source of your strength by which you grow and develop and bring forth your fruit and come to maturity. Then he's the very one who bring you to ordained experiences where he purges you and he prunes off things in your life. And he teaches you that except you know we purge, you can't bear much fruit. But you have to purge the branch because this tree is designed to become more fruitful by purging. And you have to be submitted to the ministry of the sharp knife, the pruning knife, and the scissors. You get that? A lot of you try to come in the message and you will just bear fruit. You might be living in Trinidad and they mightn't grow grape here in a big way. And here we are mango country. But Jesus didn't say I'm the mango tree. Though he is in one sense. But he talked about the grape. Because the grape have the mystery. The grape have the mystery that grow over the wall and bring the wine. Does make his heart glad and become the drink offering and represent his blood where the power is and the life is to break up sin and bring deliverance. Not mango. Not mango in the communion. You can be local as how you want. You don't have mango in the communion. And the reason he used that in the parable, because in that parable about the fruitful ball, Joseph, a fruitful ball. I am the vine, you are the branch. You are the branch in the last days. You are the Joseph, the fruitful ball that is a comfort. Because in this pride, he'll be glorified in the last days. When he comes to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all that believe and to fulfill the work of his power, when she's going to bring forth that ninefold fruit. When she's going to bring up fruits of perfect love, fruit of perfect faith, she'll bring forth fruit to perfection, this bride. But to bring that fruit to perfection, it has to be purged. Because there's no other way. In other words, he knows the hidden untapped resources of the vine that the vine do not know of its own self.
The evangelist tried to bring forth, but I can't bring forth that. What am I going to do again? I can't manufacture. He said, no, you can bring forth, but you got to get purged. I got to prune you. I got to cut off things from you. It had things. How many only prune off? Abraham had some shoots on him. God called him, but he had two suckers on the vine. Terah and Lot. Is that right? God said, wait a minute. I root this up out of Mesopotamia to go and plant this in Canaan. This is to bring forth perfect faith. Jehovah Jireh to come down and eat this fruit. You know what I'm saying? That's why he said, no, I know Abraham. He's in Genesis 12, 22. He called me Genesis 12. He's in Genesis 22. He bringing forth fruit. God said, no, I know. You bring forth the fruit that you ordained to bring forth. You have not chosen me, Abraham. I have chosen you. Election. How many of you have taken election? Elected and called. And how many knows? He says, and I have chosen and ordained you that you should bring forth fruit. How many of Abraham tried to become fruitful? But he said, I will make you extremely fruitful. You are fruitful, bro? By yourself? You are, look at you and Sarah, want to be a fruitful bow. Look at Moses, want to be a fruitful bow. Is that right? 40 years. You know what you bring? One dead, rotten, stinking Egyptian. That's your ministry, eh? 40 years, one success. Kill an Egyptian, run for your life. Hide him in his hand. Deliverer. We are supposed to that kind of ministry today. We are that kind of ministry. No, sir. Watch. Then God shall have purged Moses 40 years. Pruning. When God done with him, all the big self could have talk and explain. Big explainer. He said, Lord, I can't talk. Is that right? But he becomes so weak. God bring him dead. Because now he wasn't planted in all Egyptian theology in Pharaoh's house. Now he planted butter by the well. The source of his strength wasn't Pharaoh's palace and where he grew up and the education and the money and the faith. That was his source of strength. The source of his strength now was Jehovah God he met in a burning bush. Is that right? Then we see the kind of fruits that are coming. Now he could become a mystery of Christ. Isn't that right? Now he could be a prophet, deliver a shepherd with a rod to lift the oppression of the sheep that was in bondage. Now he could put the hand in the bosom and reveal the secret of the leprous hand, the right hand become a leprosy. Now he could make the rod a serpent and show how the fall came and how the leprous hand could remove that and become clean again to bring deliverance for people. And God had to purge off things. It's the same way, friends. Even if we're running back to God, what are we crying to me for? Speak and go forward, man. Bring forth the fruit. You have it inside. You plant it there. And God said, I show you back. I prune that off of you. I prune that off of you. Wasn't I there with you? Wasn't I there with you? What about you tonight, friends? I'm trying to hold you in a place to show you are being chosen. If you are Joseph, a lot of you could identify the pattern. When you're going through trials, you want to hear a Joseph think about the glory. So you say, yeah, boy. We talk about Joseph now, not as we talk about Joseph fruitful bow tonight. And what does make the vine fruitful? And how it has grown. And I told Brother Claude, I says, he's telling me about what happened in the schools. I said, I'll tell you in the week. And what I wanted to tell you is this. When the vine is growing up, the branch begin to extend outside the church and all down in there Eldorado composite and they're eating the fruit all day. You got to grow up, become a fruitful bowl. And teachers come in and eat it. And principal eating. And the principal say, oh, you have more shoots like this? That can come and we can get from you? A few more vines like this? If you watch his life, and you watch your life the same, because you in the last day bride is that branch. You come from the root. They come from the root. Jesus is the root
and the offspring of David. The offspring mean it spring forth at a certain season in the house of David, but he was the very root of the house. He was in before David, in David, and after David. You catch that? And if you come forth here in this day, when the word opened to you, the only way you could come forth in this day under this message, you had been chosen back in Christ before the foundation of the world and predestinated to come in this day to hear this message. All the Father had given me will come. My sheep will hear my voice. And there's so much sin in each age. And when that messenger come and that message come forth, you're ordained to catch that. Though the whole world reject it, something you say, that's nothing but the truth, but a lie. And you identify, and God bring you out of all walks of life, all organization, to be planted in this world by the well of living water. Then, when you're planted there, he who is divine, and you are a branch of that vine, and he who is the very source of your life and your strength, he is the very one who secures you and protects you. And when time your fruit begin to come, he knows now that the fruit has come to maturity, others can eat of it. You can't send it green fruit. Now I say wait on your ministry many times. Wait until you get it. Wait until it mellow. Wait until what you have become big into reality. That when you get challenged, you don't have to run no more. Because he speaks for you. You mature. What you have become ripe. When others taste of it, they know it's God that tastes of it. They know that in man. You're just a branch. But the Father is being glorified. Because they know you're getting, because of your union and your connection. The branch is connected with the vine. He said, if you don't abide in me, you can't be nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. And if you abide in me, have you right? Who says, ask what you will. He said, the first person I know of, since Jesus spoke this to the apostles in John 15, the first person that this is given to is this woman. A little widow woman with two sons. John 15, 7. She was divine. Because he said, if you abide in me, ask what you will. And my word abide in you. You see, the word is abiding in you. She can't even explain to me. She knew the thunders and she knew the seals. And she ain't called to explain that. He said, and have the right, sitting there with your heart off of the things of the world, had faith in the commission. Like Caleb come to Joshua, having faith in his commission, and taking my mountain. And the Syrophoenician won't come and say, yeah, but if the dog eat the crumbs, yeah, she said the right thing. You get where I'm coming from? I'm saying if you're abiding, it is fine. If this church is a branch from that root, if this is a predestined church, and let me say this, for that predestined believers going to rapture, they'll be sitting in the predestined ministry. A dead hen can't hatch the egg. And if that's a predestined ministry of predestined people, then that's a predestined church. Because that's election members that he brought together by walks of life, and his life connected with life. They are attributes. And where two or three are gathered in my name, and that is the same Jesus, that is those who are part of the name on the tithe, because they come from the Lord, they're part of the family. That is the seed in the earth. Then that means if they come from that vine, the root, which are the thoughts in his mind, the back part of his mind, that's the root. That's the origin was way back in him before the foundation of the world. And they come forth in their own season. But David's teaching. He's teaching St. John 15, 17. You all have a oneness with me. That's why those were never taught out in the meetings. It was taught only to you. Like, he couldn't even teach that when Jesus was there. Because Jesus was the kind you purge up and don't bring forth fruit. And the grafting kind. Living off the life of bringing forth a political spirit and a money spirit and going after these things. And a spirit that could betray the word and these things. But living off the life of the word. You get what I'm saying? So if we are that vine, then we plant it. And if we plant it, then every husbandman has to protect his investment. He invests time in you. He invests, why? You plant for fruit. He didn't plant it to leave it there unprotected and the devil just destroy his thing. No. He protects it. He himself is the hedge around you. He's the very source of your strength. He was very specific in his choice of where to plant you. And then when he comes to prune you, he knows if he's satisfied with your fruit. Because if those that don't bear fruit is purged and cast away into the fire, those that is bearing fruit is purged. So he's not saying, well, you're bearing fruit. He knows you're bearing fruit. But he purged it like it bear more fruit. Because in much fruit, he is glorified. And he wants fruit that come to perfection. The rest fall away in the time of testing. The cares of this life. But what Joseph? He looked at that woman, pleasure, cares of this life? No. Come to Pharaoh there, money, position? No. He started telling me, because God, you men can't reveal this. This is from God. And God sent me here. And I'm walking in a vision. So now I'll tell you what it is. You get that? Let the musicians come. If you are planted in this word, really planted, because here we just be planted in this word. When you roots in this word, the plant is fed by its roots. It draws the life into itself. If your roots planted in some fiction, some philosophy, some private interpretation, some form of worldly entertainment, if your roots planted there, that way draw it into yourself. You live in an artificial put on life that is some Hollywood actor, some fashion designer, some worldly entertainment, some comic preacher with some platform performance, and people trying to pattern their life because that's where the roots are. That's where they get the influencer. But if you just dress because your dressiness comes because you see and understand womanhood in the Bible, and if when you pray, you don't learn prayers and recite prayers, you see how prayer is born in Scripture through experience, through utterance that God gives them. You see how Jonah prayed in the belly of the fish. You see how Solomon prayed in the dedication. Is that right? You see David pray under persecution. You see Jesus pray in Gethsemane, intercede. You see him praying to get the anointing for his ministry. And he might go forth to every other city as his sower sowing. The Bible says, I'm trying to stay under the anointing to find the message for the hour. Why? I must sow evening time seeds. I have to find the seed that the plant. See what is to be in the bride in this field. And that's why the things he's planting in his teaching rain, the seed that he is putting inside there, and then the seeds that he's cultivating and developing that seed to bring it forth, to get that quality of fruit, and the way he purges the branch, because out of our lives is going to come. Remember how he purged Gideon? Remember how he purged her with all that fear? Remember he purged her with that inferiority complex? All of them, there was hindering fruitfulness.
anything that hinder fruitfulness, he purges it away. Because it's hindering. Remember Abraham, when he wanted to hold on to Ishmael? Oh, that Ishmael might live. Don't remove the sucker from the vine and hang out. She's a good girl. They cast out the bondwoman and her son. Why? If Isaac is to grow and come to sonship, Ishmael is hindering fruitfulness. You need persecute and attacking the life of the branch that's to bear the fruit. We get somewhere? Remember Elijah was sent to the widow to purge that vine? Remember God knew the potential, the kind of fruit she could bear? She had faith to create. She had faith for resurrection, and she didn't know. She thought all she had was the last meal to live. She lived in that realm. Yet God said, I command her to feed you, knowing all what she had. Because God, who had planted that vine, had sent the husbandman with the pruning knife. And when he came, did he compromise the vine? But he said, take your last. Take your cake. Put God first! Punch away selfishness. We punch away self-security. Is that right? Punch away fear. But as she said, I see paradox every day in our house. That vine started bring forth fruit like she never knew. I'll give you a little peep where we want to go with some of these. A fruitful bone. Your wife shall be a fruitful vine by the side of thine house. Jesus, vital. He purchases her, he tries her. But in this hour, she's going to bring forth the spoken word. She brings forth perfect love. She brings forth perfect faith. She comes forth in full surrendered life. Can you see you have the potential to live this life? Or you're just born, I can't live that life now. He says, I know you can't live that life. You can't bring that fruit out purging. Time for purging. He says, it's scissors. And he gives you a season of the scissors. There is no tree in all botany life that is mercilessly purged and stripped and cut away. That's divine. The bread fruit. That's why when you see the church, but I'm talking about man without inspiration. 68 million going through dark ages. What is he doing? Purging the tree. Why? Because in this hour, look what you're going to bear. The church that went through that, what are you going to bear in this hour? You catch that? At a dispensation level. I give you a local level. I give you an individual level. He's cutting away things that hindered your fruitfulness. First, you have to plant you. This is where you're planting. Some of you want to bear all this fruit in the message, but you want to live down in the low land. You want to live too close to the swamp. You want to live close to the sewer. You are planted by the well, not the sewer. The sewer is where the filth of the world is. The stench of the world. You want that in this cup. But you want to put grapes on the table? When you say that big bunch of grapes, where's the first thing Josh and them went for the killer when they come back in the land? Where's the first thing they bring for? It's a great time, friends. Great, great time. Joseph is a fruitful boy. I don't tell you who Joseph is. I tell you something. Joseph represents every one of us. He's planted by the well. And the hedges around you. I remember when he rooted me out of the world. Bringing forth many sour grapes out there because I planted in the wrong place. Never get pruned. God, growing up, not even knowing who I am and the potential that's inside of me. When you root that thing up,
He knew exactly he's going to plant it. He planted right between the Gentile prophet and the Jewish prophets. How you know that? You know how I know that. That's when the first thing you wake me up to see where I am planted, where he planted, where my roots are. Out of there, the branches, which are in New Zealand, all in the Ukraine, they go over the local wall. 1979, out in Venezuela, I told Brother Carl, I said, Carl, I said, we have to move with this word. This is the fruit of the teaching. I said, we have the right teaching of this message. Precious brother, but you couldn't see all that then. By the time he wanted to move, it was a little late. But from there, next place over, Sabino Canyon, Tucson, Arizona, Salida del Sol, is the rising of the sun. Go up on Sword Mountain. There's something happened. Come back, 1980, teaching rain. Showers of revelation fall in 1980. Our eyes were made to see our own prophecy. 1981, all these dreams, all these things in symbol form. Notice everything was symbol form in the book of Joseph? With the bottle and the baker was symbol form. With Pharaoh's symbol form. With Joseph's dream is symbol form. With the fruitful bough and the arch is symbol form. That's right. We all read Genesis and Joseph all the years. But look at the things he's ripping off. He's peeling another level. And we saw in here a lot more Joseph. But places he's carrying us, we have never seen. Eyes have not seen. That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God. You know why? It's very planted. It's very planted. Very drawing this from. Deep from the subterranean springs. From the depths. The blessings of some. You'll be blessed from above. Former rain and latter rain, outside the dew, outside the rain in its season. From the earth, the hidden springs, and the corn, and the oil, and the wine was going to come up. These are the blessings. We have the corn, we have the oil, we have the wine. It revealed the hidden springs. But we're drinking from the artesian well. We have the teaching rain. We have the slattering showers coming down. Water in the seeds that is planted. Mature in a church. We have the rainbow. Quote. We have the persecution and the scars from the archers. He wasn't trying to kill Reuben. They didn't gang up on Judah. They didn't decide to fight Issachar. They wasn't getting trouble in Zebulun. No. The tree had the fruit. The fruitful bough. It where all these sticks and stones was. How that could be make, no matter what side you go. Look at where you're Sunday. Look at where you're in the meetings with that. Look at where you're last weekend. Which side you can go? That's the Bible. That's not vain. That didn't reveal anything. That revealing Christ. Because that is not tied to me. That's tied to any spiritual believer who's a branch of the root. Maybe I'm preaching like you, that Joseph. I don't know your life story, some of you. I know some of you I know. I hear Sammy speak his own boldly last week. I don't know if you're going to get any local sticks and stones. But he declared that thing last week, I tell you. But I guess when the presence of God comes behind the word, you draw back and you take note. You don't fight what God blessing when you are discernment, see? So that was something. Be sensitive. You know what's happening. Grow tonight in grace. Become fruitful for him. Take your purging. You have to strip away things from your life. You see value to You like Abraham, you want to hold on to this. You like the widow, you can't let go of that. He's saying, give it up. Give up this. The end, he'll be glorified. He'll be your God. He'll be God in your life. You believe him? You can receive that? Believe that in your hand? Empty me. Let us sing a little song. You just sit in your seat right there and worship in the song as we get ready to go. I like these little ones tonight, meetings, you know. And I want to encourage you, come out to them. Because I'll tell you why. I've been set down through the years, you get more relaxed Wednesday night. And God can talk the word and talk things in the word. In places, in an attitude of spirit, where you come there and you don't have on your best clothes. You know when people come into the best clothes, they have too much cosmos and too much self-consciousness and too much religion around them. Sunday morning, sometimes. You come in the week, you're a little tired, you're a little kind of beaten down a little bit, you're fresh coming in the morning, you come to church to wear a nice thing and look a certain way. Kind of come up with what you have. Get some of you in your work clothes, coming from work and everything else. So in a place where God talk to me. In nighttime and nobody in mind and you think nobody watching. Sunday morning is kind of be sensitive. Everybody watching me Sunday morning. It's like a peacock. You're on parade. But Wednesday night, like a dove. You just want to get quiet, stuck up in a corner, and let Jesus coo to you. And just want to coo back to him. When you get there, things have growth to take place. Empty me. Let's sing it in worship as a prayer, meaningful with the understanding of this little word. Let's have the chorus, empty me. Empty me. Yeah, Lord. Yeah, Lord. Of all myself and pride. Let him purge away tonight. Empty me, dear Lord. The sharp knife, the pruning knife in his hand. Remove tonight the secret sins, the viruses that's hidden in fruitfulness. Cut it away, Lord. Empty me. I'm willing to submit. I'm asking because I recognize it's good for me. I'm not trying to evade or run until I'm just like a little child. So your will could be done. My life. Oh Lord, I've heard your word tonight. That same word has called me. Oh Lord, I've heard your word that has called me. Oh my God. And now I can't. I've thrown my hands in surrender. I'm ready to obey, Lord. I'm compelled by the truth that I hear. I'm compelled by the truth that I hear. Just to walk with you, my Lord. Your presence. Empty me, Lord. And
believe inside. Never pretend. Cut deep. Cut it out, Lord. Cast it away from me. Purge it out from my life. Remove fears and doubts in it. These things are hindering my growth, hindering my fruitfulness tonight. Strip it away. Empty me. Oh, my loving God. Loving God, until I'm just like a little child. So your will. Let me be obsessed with your will tonight. I've been so taken with my own will, but Lord, not my will now, but thou will be there. Let me overcome self-will and overcome the will of mine to become a prisoner to your will. From within. Don't we all have them times, even in this hour? From deep, deep, deep within, from the inside of the inside. Lord, how I grow. Cry that no one can hear but you, Lord. How I hunger. Oh, I can't sleep in the night sometimes. Oh, God. For thee, my soul falleth hard after the night. Plant me by the well, I would not be satisfied, but I would not be satisfied until I be filled with you.
Deeper depths, a more
intimate place He wants to take you, you will find. Samson knew that there was a price to pay. Are you willing to pay that price tonight? Can you sing on whatever it takes with willingness to pay the price? Not just singing, but with willingness to pay the price. So that God can know it's a sincere cry coming up to your heart. And not just some words that you're singing, but with meaningfulness, with conviction tonight. That's what I'd be willing to do. Rocking and shaking, so uncertain. I want to be that refuge. I want the wall around me. I don't just want to be the well. I want to feel the presence of the wall around me. That's what. Sing, I'll fade sunshine for me. Do you want it that bad? Does fruitfulness mean so much to you? You're willing to trade sunshine for rain? Some of you get accustomed to a little comfort zone. I'm going to take comfort from pain. People are so afraid of pain today. But that's where you learn some of your greatest lessons. That's what I'll be willing to do. Because I know He will not give you more than you can bear. He sets a boundary to all these things. In the end, you'll have gold tried in the fire. The fiery trial is more precious than gold and perishing. And whatever it takes for my will. Promise coming to pass. Take the dearest thing from me. That was Abraham. He's willing to go to the outside. It was hard to become his father, Lot. Even harder for Ishmael. Oh my, but he had come to such a place. He'd give up Isaac. And he showed that he had come in the condition of fruitfulness. Draw me closer. Are you seeing a place to walk closer tonight? Where there's nothing between your soul and your Savior? Let the disappointments come. Lonely days without a son. In that pit, in that prison. It became so dark. Do you know the vine? It goes through great things in the nighttime. And whatever it takes, it's going to cost me. The word of the Lord is going to try me. The bow will have to be pruned and purged. It's nice to be planted by the well. It's nice to have the protection of the wall. But the purging of the branch goes together with the well and the wall. It makes the vine come to its full potential. But all the hidden resources, the untapped resources, all the hidden potentials, is cultivated, is developed, is come forth to make it a rich vine laden with fruit to glorify the Father. Let's throw our hands and take my house, Lord.
surrounded and protected by God. A church ordained to bring forth fruit and whose fruit will remain. A church that God is going to submit to the pruning knife and the scissors. But a church in which he'd be glorified this hour of the dirt pole. She's called to glory. Far away, like Joseph. Then I'll go. Even if I go to the pit and the prison. If I get that throne, then I'll your will obey. Whatever it takes tonight. We all need His divine hand. His hand that can clean. He said, the word that I've spoken have made you clean. It purged them. It was a sharp knife. Then sometimes through adversity, through trial, through tribulations, He strips, He takes away self-will, self-centeredness, ambition and pride, rebellion, anything that hinders fruitfulness, worldly pleasure. We might bear much fruit. That's why He plants us. He was very selective where He plants us. Thank you, Jesus. Every head bowed and every eye. Don't you make it love? Make it loving tonight. When you think of this blessed privilege we have, only but a short coming. Pray tonight. And church, you look at your life and see what kind of fruit you are bearing, how fruitful you are. Is that all the fruit that you can bring forth? Or if God can strip away things from your life that is hindering you, you can realize your true and full potential. Gideon had much more potential than he could realize. But God dealt with him in such a way. He had to give a burnt sacrifice. Complete unreserved consecration. Give up. Completely put God first. The widow had so much that she could have brought forth. Look at Jonah. He had so much. He was trying to run. Go to Tarshish when he should be going to Nineveh. Look how God had to use that knife and that scissors. And even after He got him there, God still had to come and do some pruning on the hill. Look at James and John, sons of thunder. What a temper they had. But look at them writing about love. Paul persecuted the church, even standing there, associating with those who killed Stephen. But look at him speaking about love beareth all things and endureth all things. Look at Peter. Was asking forgive 70 times 7 and could speak of being not barren and unfruitful but having these virtues abounding in you where you cannot even fall. They all knew it was He in them. They were in the vine. At one time they couldn't bring no fruit. He had to purge him. He said, you savour us to think of man and not of God. He denied him and everything else. But look at the kind of fruit that he brought forth in the end. Through hard trials and tribulations. But God was glorified in the end because they discovered that potential. You too tonight are His vine today and not a branch from the root in this hour. Ask Him tonight. So our brother would pray. Believe tonight. May He make us fruitful. That everything that He promised in this word could be on this tree. A tree planted by the rivers of water,
The tree of life shall bloom again, he says. The pyramid shall stand again. The house of God will live again. That's the time for us. That's the hour we've come to.
Thank you, Lord. Our Lord, we thank you for your grace tonight, Lord. The great Holy Spirit coming down here to speak to us, O Lord God. You're so close to us here in this evening time. Lord God, as the time is being closing, you're making yourself so more visible to us. You're unveiling yourself, O Lord God, that we can hold your glory, the glory of your resurrection. Lord Father, as you spoke to us tonight, you brought us to remembrance, O Lord Father, of the time when you called us from out of that denomination. Even, Lord God, we can testify, Lord Father, when we started in the message. We heard many truths, O Lord. We heard many deep things, O Lord. We heard, O Lord God, Father, the things that were hidden in your word, Lord. But yet, O Lord God, we didn't see what we have us to go through to come to this day, to this hour. Lord, in all life, we could testify tonight, Lord Father, of the fears and the frustrations. We could testify, Lord, of those things are no more with us, Lord. We have the blessed assurance, O Lord God, Father, to know that you're there with us all the time. We had, O Lord, so much condemnation sometimes. Lord, when we looked to ourselves, we was like Job on the ash heap, not really understanding, Lord Father, many things of our own self. But you had us to purge out the Lord God, our own old nature, Lord, to give us, O Lord, of your spirit, to change our hearts, O Lord God, to renew, Lord, that spirit within us, and, Lord, give unto us your Holy Spirit. Here tonight, Lord, Father, Lord, we want to empty ourselves, O Lord God. O Lord, lay ourselves upon the altar of sacrifice, O Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Let your Holy Spirit, O Lord God, the fire from above, come, O Lord, and burn, O Lord God, the internals, our thoughts. O Lord, Father, our feet, everything, Lord God. Let it be a sweet smell and savor to you tonight, Lord. At the end of it, Lord God, you could be use us to bring glory and honor to your precious name. We could bear fruits, O Lord God, and others could be able, Lord, to get a hold of it also. Father, we have a testimony in our hearts, O Lord God, that you still the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Hallelujah.
You promise never to leave us, nor forsake us. You promise, O Lord God, that you will be out with us even unto the end of the age. Here tonight, Lord Father, we realize, Lord, that what was keeping us is your word that you have placed us, O Lord God, under. A word of promise, Lord. One who holds a vision. We call the vision, no matter where we came in, Lord, what time we came in. But we were able, Lord, to see, Father, that we were there even from France Street, Lord. Your prophet said to Lord God, Father, we were in Christ when he was on the cross. When the Lord God was crossing the river Delaware, he was there also.
Yes.
Father, Lord, we thank you for your grace tonight, for men who have stood, Lord God, a time. And to make us, O Lord God, that when we come in at this time here, Lord, we can look back to also and support the ministry in many ways. We can, Lord God, back the ministry, Lord, because we hold that same vision, Lord God, as the one who you have placed over us. Lord, we walk in, Lord, Father, by faith, and not, O Lord God, by the things we see. We walk in, O Lord God, because, Father, you have given unto us the revelation of ourselves in that word, to Lord. We thank you, Lord, tonight, Father, even, Lord, your children here. Lord, those who, Lord, are asking a better, Lord, a lick of fire, Lord, a deeper walk with you, a Lord, Father, closer walk with you, Lord. Listen to your prayer, Lord. You know, Lord, you said that in thy word, your ear is not heavy that you cannot hear. Your hands are not short that you cannot reach down. A simple prayer of faith, Lord God. Listen to hearken to their prayer, Lord Father, tonight we pray. And let us, Lord God, walk out here different. Then when we come back, Lord, we could testify, each one of us, of your great mighty hands of all. We have testimonies upon testimonies, O Lord, of the work that you're doing among us. Lord God, deliverance, healing. Lord God, Father, you're giving unto us captivity. Those who were in captivity, you're setting them at liberty, Lord. We've seen souls, O Lord, come and surrender to Lord God, being baptized in thy name, Lord, baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, Father, the young and the old, everyone, Lord, Father, it is your work that you're doing. In the region, Lord God, we see the testimonies, Lord, Father, of those who were here knowing that your seed you had planted in the hearts of your children. They came back and testified, Lord God, it is your work that you are doing within them. And you, Lord God, is the one to get glory and honor. So tonight, Lord Father, we pray the great Holy Spirit go with us, Lord. Build us, give us strength, O Lord God, in the weak areas of our life. Yes. Continue, Lord God, lifting us up in the place where, Lord God, your name could be glorified and be magnified among
Thank
us.
Thank you, Lord.
Bless the children, Lord, again, even the region. Those, O Lord Father, who suffered many loss, or maybe a loss, Lord, you know how to supply their needs.
Yes.
We lift them up, O Lord, before you.
Oh, God.
Bless them, we pray, Lord
yes,
God.
Jesus.
From St. Kitts, come right down, O Lord
yes.
God, into Tobago. We ask thy blessings upon them. And Lord God, even my precious brother here standing with us here tonight at the altar. Lord Father, you draw him here. There's something, Lord, in his heart. Let him let his pray, Lord. Hearken to his prayer tonight, Lord. Grant him, Lord God, his request tonight, Lord. As he go, Lord Father, he go with praise and glorify you, knowing, Lord, the thing is done. He left it at the altar, Lord Father, with faith believing, Lord God, you have handled the situation.
Thank you, Lord.
Grant it, O Lord, we pray. In the name of your Son, O Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Praise his mighty name. You get ready to go? Take me, separate me from the things of this life. Let's come on Friday. What a time we should be. We want to be in prayer. We want to be under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We want the Lord to really begin to get down and move in places in the assembly that need the Holy Spirit to energize and quicken and strengthen them places. As a body, we can be unified and fortified, equipped for this great work. When I saw what moved through the region there, it's just there would be a time to how we should be quickly moving through it, the word after. You know, these kind of shake people up many times. When they all get shaken up there and everybody's trying to call upon God. Remember when that storm come? The shipmaster went down the bottom of the ship, you found Jonah down there, he said, call upon your God. Trying to get everybody to call upon God. That is the time when God wanted to send a message to Nineveh. So, it's such a time like this. Jonah in the belly of the fish with the mystery of Christ. The mystery of the voice in the resurrection. Amen. Ministry of judgment, going for the Gentiles. Think about it. That's the very hour we've come to. God has a church. A fruitful church. Not a barren church. Fruitful. A fruitful bar. Come from the root. Nourished by the well, fortified by the wall. Who has fruit for those within and those without. Branches go. Though the archers shoot from every side, the blessings of heaven come down. The blessings of the we need comes down. Amen. And though the fathers had blessings, Luther had a blessing, Wesley had a blessing, Abraham had a blessing, Isaac had a blessing. But Jacob's blessings far exceeded their blessings. But Abraham had a blessing for Isaac and a little one for Ishmael. Isaac had one, he gave to Jacob, and he couldn't, had not, none else to give to Esau. But Jacob had one for every son. Every time he finished, when Abraham died, had one boy, Isaac, had Ishmael and Midian and them. When Isaac died, had Esau and Jacob. When Joseph died, when Jacob died, but before you know it, they were no longer just a bunch of boys in the house. That's when it would become a nation. And this, the promise that God gave to Abraham, and out of the 12 sons came 12 tribes. Out of the 12 tribes, filled the place and became so great. Brother Luther's blessing, Wesley blessing, they had blessings. They blessed the church for a season. When a prophet came in this day, he went way back before God was even God, all the way to new heaven, new earth, and he blessed us. And he blessed this bride. And all from Genesis, with Adam and all that failed to come forth yet, would come forth in these last days in a people at end time seen sign. We have been blessed. This bride, if you understand who we are,
He said, no. When the book was being opened, he said, this end time bride. He said, no, I call you no longer church, I call you bride. And he placed us. Because the alias and the evening messenger was the one to get the bride for the bridegroom. That was his job. We are the ones he got. We are the ones he brought. When he brought us, he indicted the world. He called a trial and he indicted the world. Think about it. You have been blessed. More than any other age. We inherit the blessings of the apostles believe for, never even live long enough to receive. This one, don't go to the grave. The dust is ours. This one goes up in the rapture. We bypass the grave. Is that right? Take me, separate me tonight. God bless you. Go see you on Friday, Lord. Lord, how I long. How I long. You have that longing tonight to be lost in his precious arms. In your precious arms. You ever think about that and feel contentment? When you feel Jesus holding you close up to him, he sweep over, he flood your soul with his agape love. Hear them seven voices speaking peace. Shalom. Oh, to the waters. My troubled mind. Troubled mind. I would rest in the strength. Joseph abode in the strength. His arms became strong by the mighty God of Jacob. Hallelujah. Lord, take me. Separate me. Purge it away tonight, Lord. Strip it away. Oh, well. Only see heartache and strife. And strife. Oh Lord, hide me. Uphold me tonight. Hold me on eagle's wings. On eagle's. I know you ever let me go. Oh, down deep in my soul. Oh, there's a calling. A calling for that tea of different. Deep calling to deep. Thank you.